Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome as we celebrate this third Sunday in Advent, as we get even closer to the blessed Christmas season. You can already see that our scenery is coming along. It looks great. We have our Christmas pageant, CEC Christmas pageant, on the Grinch Stole Christmas next week. We're very excited about it. We appreciate all the hard work that Mitch and Sharon have been doing setting this up, as well as other people, Angie and all the staff that have been working on getting our kids prepared for this. But next Sunday, 10:30, our kids will be performing. It's going to be a great opportunity. We'll have snacks available for you in the fellowship hall for purchase or donation, yeah, for some of our CEC activities. So that will be greatly appreciated. Also, speaking of sweets, our chocolate bars have arrived for our mission trip to support our kids and our adults going to Milwaukee, to Trickle Bee Cafe. I do not have them available this Sunday, but keep your eye out. We will have those available for purchase, as well as this Saturday. There's a unique opportunity, thanks to Carolyn and Jackie for putting that in the bulletin. But Eric McLumphy from Dover, he works for a cutting board company. And they have decided to give the Moravian Church the opportunity with a Moravian prototype that they're making available for us to purchase. And almost 100% of the proceeds are going to our mission trip to Milwaukee. So those cutting boards, you can see the pictures in your bulletin, but they either have the Moravian seal or the Moravian emblem on them. I believe the full one is like $25. I think there's like a circular one that's about $30. If you're interested in getting one of those, you could pick that up at Dover Moravian on Saturday at noon. I would encourage you to be there early. I'm getting the feeling there's a lot of people who are very interested in these. They are the perfect Christmas gift for a lot of people. If there are any available, they will be distributed to the churches on Sunday afterwards. I'm hoping we sell out Saturday, and if that's the case, don't panic if you don't get one, because we're hoping to have some out for the Easter season as well, if this goes well. But Eric's company kind of wants to see how this goes, and if this is popular, maybe this will be a little bit more sustainable. But we're very, very excited about it. Also, don't forget our Christmas Eve worship will be at 7 p.m. Elders are going to meet on Monday at 7 p.m. in the office. The women's board dinner will be at Millie's this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Bring a covered dish to share, a great opportunity for fellowship and to give thanks for all the wonderful things that our women's board has done over this past year. Please get your year-end reports in by next Sunday if you can. We're already working on getting those annual reports together. And remember, we have to have those out 2 weeks before our church council on January 19th. So the quicker we get those, the quicker we can put them together in the busy Christmas season. Does anybody else have any other announcements they wish to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Morning, Daniel. You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week this week. Our watchword is from the 35th chapter of Isaiah, verse 4. Let us say it together. Be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
At this time, I invite Amy Pasquinelli to come forward to light the Advent wreath. In the third week of Advent, we celebrate the spirit of joy. And joy is a wonderful and gracious gift from God. And today's candle reflects the joyful return of God's people to Zion. As we already celebrated, there are the candles of hope and peace and joy. And our Bible verse for today is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 to 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless shall sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, await your coming with hope, peace, and joy. May we see with the eyes of faith the work of your kingdom in our lives and our world. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing our third verse in our Advent hymn from Christina Johnson. Please rise.
Please remain standing. Know that the Lord is coming with him, and with him all his saints. It is not ourselves that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your servants. For Jesus' sake, for the same God who said, "Out of the darkness let light shine." He has caused his light to shine within us, to give the light of revelation, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem.
Praise your God, O Zion.
For he strengthens the bars of your gates.
He blesses your children within you.
He grants peace within your borders.
He fills you with the finest of wheat.
He sends out his command to the earth.
His word runs with it.
He gives snow like wool. He hurls down hail like crumbs. He sends out his word and melts them.
He makes his wind blow and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob.
His statutes and ordinances to Israel.
He has not dealt thus with any other nation.
They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Please be seated. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God.
Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, and her penalty is paid, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
A voice cries out,
in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain hill be low. Uneven ground shall become level, and rough plains shall be plain. Then
the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All the people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass.
The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear, say to the cities of Judah, here is your God.
See, the Lord comes on with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense for him.
He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Jesus Christ is the joy and happiness of all who look forward to his coming. Let us call upon him and say,
come, Lord, and do not delay.
In joy we wait for your coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Before time began, you shared life with the Father.
Come now and save us.
You created the world and all who live in it. You did not hesitate to become man, subject to death.
Come to free us from the power of death.
You came to give us life to the full.
Come and give us everlasting life.
You desire all people to live in love in your kingdom. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today daily bread, and give us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, our hearts desire the warmth of your love, and our minds are searching for the light of your word. Increase our longing for Christ our Savior, and give us the strength to grow in love, that the dawn of his coming may find us rejoicing in his presence and welcoming the light of his truth.
Let us turn our hearts and minds over to our offering today. And today, especially being a day of joy, we remember that in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, we can give to God with a joyful heart, because God truly enjoys a cheerful giver. Let us now give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts. Please rise. Let us pray together. Prince of Peace, help us to be gentle with one another and to see the best in our world. May your love be the currency of our hearts that we seek to give from generously and faithfully. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and reflection with God. And we continue to pray prayers of joy for Janet West, who had a successful heart valve replacement surgery on Wednesday at Altman. For Eric McGovern, he is still recovering from treatment at Cleveland Clinic. For Linda Bonnell, she had a liver biopsy this past Monday
And we pray for her results and upcoming treatments and tests as she discerns the next step. Also want to share with you, since she's not here, that her daughter Tara started kind of a card party for her. So if you want to send her a card this past week in celebration of her birthday, or just let her know that you're thinking of her, this would be a great time to do it. For Linda Bennington, who is having cataract surgery on the 18th. For Jim Eichel, who spent this past week at Union Hospital, who is now in rehab at Park Village. And we continue to pray for him, for his strength and recovery. We continue to uplift Pastor Sue Koenig in prayers as she recovers from her wrist surgery and some complications that happened with that. Emily Lippert wanted to share some prayers about one of her coworkers, Stephanie, who was taken to Cleveland Clinic this past week, and they're not sure what all the symptoms are, but we continue to pray for Stephanie and for her recovery. And I want to express shares of gratitude that were given to me from the Bow family yesterday. Emily and I had a chance to be at Daryl's memorial service in Unionville, and the family was just touched by what a presence that showed up to celebrate the life of Daryl Bell from so many different states. I think we had two pews from Tuscarawas County, two pews from Hope, Indiana, two pews from Grace in Westland, Michigan. And it was just a great reminder of a man who touched a lot of lives. And there's a lot of laughter, a lot of tears, obviously, but a lot of laughter shared during that memorial service. And I got to hear one of my favorite Daryl stories that I had never heard before. But one of his nieces shared that in the time of sharing, that when Daryl was in his, I think his 20s or his 30s, and she was a little girl, a bunch of the family went outside during the middle of Thanksgiving to check on things, leaving Daryl and his little niece sitting there at the Thanksgiving table with this big pie sitting right there in the middle. And Daryl turns to his niece, and he goes, "Do you want to be naughty?" And so he takes a knife, and he cuts around all the edges of the pie, takes the middle of it, runs with his niece, and they go in the complete opposite direction, leaving just this empty pie crust in the middle of the kitchen table. And if you know Daryl, it was fitting for his personality and his sense of humor. But we continue to pray for their family at this time as well. Let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we realize that today is the week of joy. Help us to have joy in our hearts so we can impact our world and make our world a more joyful world, because we realize there are so many people who are hurting, who are struggling, who are finding it very difficult to smile with the challenges they've been given in life. But we realize that your gratitude is a cure for so much despair in this world, that allows us to see the wonderful life and the laughter and love. And we think especially of those who have been welcomed into their eternal kingdom these past few months. So many people. But we realize we do not despair for them. We despair for the friends and family that we will miss. But we know that those people are in your kingdom, celebrating the joy that comes from being a believer in Jesus Christ, the ultimate joy, the eternal joy that each one of us get to feel. And as we approach this Christmas, help us to just slow down a bit, to pay attention to you, God, to worry less about presents and more about gifts, the gifts of friendship, the gift of love, the gift of laughter, the gift of community. Because, God, those gifts are eternal. Those gifts can always be opened. And those gifts are uniquely given to us by you. So help us to not only be cheerful givers, but to be cheerful receivers of the joy that we have in our hearts. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture is from Genesis 45:1-15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph, and when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that all the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him."
Thank you, Danielle. Our gospel today comes from the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 2 through 11. Messengers from John the Baptist. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out and see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chant. Come on up.
How's everybody doing this morning? Good. How many days until Christmas? How many?
10.
We're getting down to the wire. Is everybody getting really excited? So we're going to talk about one of my wife. I said wives, sorry. Wife. Only one wife. Hi, I love you. We're going to talk about my wife's favorite movie, Christmas Family Vacation. It was a movie that her family grew up watching. And in this movie, they talk a lot about family traditions. And one of the things they do is they go out into the woods and they chop down a big old Christmas tree. So my first question, right, I'm going to ask about some of your Christmas family traditions. Who here has a real tree? Okay. Oh, wait. All right. We're switching. Okay. Have any of you gone out and tree hunted? How about some of my older adults? Do you remember going out into the woods and hunting for your tree and chopping it down? I never had to do that, but we always had a real tree in our household growing up. So my question for you then is, when do you decorate your trees? Aubrey, when do you decorate your tree? Do you remember? Do you already have your tree? Who has their tree up already? Okay. Who does anybody remember decorating the day after Thanksgiving? A lot of people do that. What about Halloween? Do we have any Halloween people out there yet? Praise God, I hope not. But does anybody not have their tree decorated yet? We're still waiting to put our tree up. We like to wait until our tree. My dad would get our tree pretty early, so by Christmas Day it would be looking a little worse for the wear in some of our family pictures. So we wait a little bit to get our tree. Let's see. Who has stockings? Yeah. And when do you get to check your stockings? Paige. On Christmas, Brandon? On Christmas, Rylan? Christmas Day. Everybody's pretty much Christmas Day. Were there any people, I'll ask in the congregation, where I grew up in Wisconsin, we celebrated St. Nicholas Day on December 5th. Did anybody else celebrate that? Apparently that's like the bubbler. Apparently only people in Wisconsin celebrate that. But on December 5th, you would get a little stocking full of treats and stuff. Right, here's an important question. When do you open your presents? Nick, when do you open your presents? Araya, when do you open yours? Christmas Day? Tyler? When you wake up on Christmas? Rylan, when do you? Christmas Day? Paige? On Christmas Day? Cool. I actually grew up in a Christmas Eve family. And we would actually, you could even open one or two presents on Christmas Eve night. And you know what? You made sure they weren't the socks. You felt them pretty good, and you made sure it was something you really enjoyed. So what are some of your favorite foods and snacks you get to eat Christmas season? Paige?
Probably would have to be the candy.
The candy. All right, what are some of yours? Candy. Rylan? Candy canes? Who likes? I don't like candy canes, actually. That's a secret. Mint. The mint is not my favorite. Aubrey? You know, in my house, we make a big bowl of Chex Mix, too. I love that. That is one of my favorite. I love that snackage. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how many of you have multiple Christmas family parties? So, like, you go to grandma's house for one Christmas, you go to a different grandma's for another, or an aunt or uncle. Okay. So what's your biggest one where you have the most family? Nick? Depends who can make it, probably, yeah. Cool. Paige?
My grandma.
Your grandma's, yep. Aubrey? Do you like having that many people around for Christmas? Yeah, it's a lot of fun when we have all these different family. And do any of you get to do any stories on either stories or movie on Christmas Eve night or Christmas morning, Tyler? What's that? You watch Elf? And then I heard your dad reads the Christmas story to you on Christmas morning. That's really cool. Paige, what do you watch? Or read?
On Christmas Eve, we read Present
Night
before Christmas. And on Christmas Day, we watch a Christmas story.
Okay, on repeat, yep. Aubrey, what would you do?
The Grinch.
The Grinch, yeah. And you're going to get to see that next Sunday, too. Brandon, would you watch Elf, too? Yep, that's one of your favorites. Nick, were you going to say something? Okay. So what do you make of this, that we all have different Christmas traditions? Do you think it matters?
No.
Too big? Why not?
They're your own special tradition.
Nick, what are you going
to
say?
Your opinion, what you
want to
do.
Yep. It's what brings you joy, because what's the most important thing that we celebrate on Christmas? Rylan? Your family? What else? Tyler? Jesus. That's the most important thing. So it doesn't matter whether we open presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It doesn't matter if our tree is real or artificial. It doesn't matter even matter what kind of snacks or stockings we have. As you are going to share with us next week in the Grinch Stole Christmas, all that matters is our heart and that it belongs to Jesus. And we can celebrate that. So we're going to take a moment, and we're actually in the spirit of Christmas. We're going to do a joyful noise for Adopt-A-Village, which is a very important ministry that our CEC is committed to supporting for these next couple of years and helping some of these places in need. Raise your hand if you didn't get a chance to put anything in the bucket. There you go, Ray. All right, come on, let's bring our cans back up. You can put them right here. Put them down softly and gently. Thank you all very much. You did a great job helping that ministry. Oh, yep. Careful. There you go. I guess we're getting creative in our stacking. All right, we're going to get in our circle, and we're going to pray. Let's make sure we got room for Rylan. Put him in here. All right, let's pray together. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids and keep reminding them, with 10 days closer to Christmas, to worry less about what's underneath the tree, but to worry about what's in their heart and the gift that they receive from God, which is eternal love, and that can never be taken from any of us. So help us to give joyfully and wonderfully. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll go ahead and grab that. Oh, let me pick that up for y'all. How about I grab that so you can... Sure, everybody gets one. All right, good job. You may remain seated as we join together to sing Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Captive free to take away transgression.
All right, we're going to start the third week of our Christmas Advent books and movies that we know and we love. And this week we're covering Christmas Family Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Family Vacation. How many people have seen that movie just by a show of hands? Okay, so we got most of our congregation. That's good. We'll start with our, once again, we'll start with our true-false game. So if you know the answer, or if you believe the statement I'm saying is true, you can put your hymnal up in the air. If you believe it is false, you can keep your hymnal or your book or whatever you're holding down. So we'll see how well some of you know Christmas Family Vacation. So this is the first one. You got to know something about your pastor on this one, too. This movie came out before your pastor was born. If that's true, put your hymnal up. If that's false, leave it down. True. It came out 1 month before I was born. December 1989. I was born in January 1990. So that was a tough one. But they're actually celebrating their 30-year anniversary this year. So it's great to see some of the connections with this. This one has to do with one of the favorite iconic scenes from the movie, where the squirrel gets loose in the house and it's all over the place. They used a cat instead of a squirrel in the scene where the squirrel wreaks havoc on the house. Is that true? Put your hymnal out, or is that false? They used a small cat instead of a squirrel. That is false. It was actually, this is the funny thing, this is so random, you wouldn't get this if you've seen the movie. They actually ended up using an untrained squirrel the day of, because they had trained a squirrel, but it died the day before the scene was shot. Now, the question begs is, how much did they pay somebody to train a squirrel to wreak havoc on a house? I want that job, because that couldn't have been that difficult. Goodness gracious. Okay, here's your next statement. The movie is based on a short story just like It's a Wonderful Life. Put your book up if you think that's true. Keep it down if you think that's false. The movie is based on a short story just like It's a Wonderful Life. That is actually true. John Hughes actually wrote Christmas of 59, which was written in National Lampoon. So that's why you see that title before the movie, National Lampoon's Christmas Family Vacation. Those of you that know John Hughes, that name sounds pretty familiar, because he was kind of one of the iconic film directors of the 1980s with 16 Candles and a lot of other great movies. And they actually had done a first movie of Christmas Family Vacation that didn't do so well, and this was kind of a remake of it. Your next statement, Christmas Vacation superfans can visit an exact replica of the Griswold House in Columbus, Ohio. Is that true or is that false? You can visit an exact replica in Columbus, Ohio. It's false. Does anybody know where in Ohio? It's Wadsworth, Ohio. That's where you can go visit the Christmas Family Vacation house. So here's your next one. Bill Murray's brother starred in this film. He is one of the actors in this film. Is that true or is that false? True. Mitch has got some confidence. Do you know his name at all? Yeah, Brian Doyle Murray starred. Do you know what role he played? He was the boss. He was the boss. He was Chevy Chase's boss, the one who refused to give out the Christmas bonus. What is interesting, though, when I was reading up on this, is that the cast did very little practice beforehand because of the improv skills of people like Chevy Chase, just to be able to say something off the cuff, that they'd rather the cast react naturally than try to say like a rigid line. So this is another tough one. Actors and actresses Juliette Lewis, Beverly D'Angelo, and Chevy Chase replayed their roles in a series of Geico commercials for the Super Bowl in 2012. Is that true or is that false? That's a tough one. That is false. Does anybody know what company they represented in the 2012 Super Bowl when they replayed this? It was Old Navy. Old Navy was the company that went on a big commercial spree with the cast. This is for all my retro retro fans who know their history going back. Aunt Bethany, who is in this movie, was the original voice of Olive Oil on Popeye. Is that true or false? The original voice of Olive Oil on Popeye. Her name was Mae Questel, just so you know. Was she the original voice? Tyler is correct. Tyler, that is correct. Yeah, I had no idea, but this cast is probably one of the most historic and richly talented cast, because the older people who were playing the crazy aunts and uncles were people who had a long line of acting and actresses pedigree. Mae Questel did a lot of voiceover work, and actually this is probably one of the few movies where the supporting cast ended up going on to greater careers than the stars Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo. Now, Chevy Chase was huge in the 70s and 80s, but from that point forward, because does anybody know who played the little boy in that, in Christmas Family Vacation? Paige? Leonard. Yep, very good, Paige. Very good. That's Johnny Galecki. He plays Leonard in Big Bang Theory, which is one of the longest-running sitcoms in the history of television. His sister, Juliette Lewis, lesser known, she actually won an Academy Award 2 years later for her role in Cape Fear in 1991. And Doris Roberts, can anybody tell me what she starred in? Raymond. Everybody Loves Raymond. She was the mother in Everybody Loves Raymond. So, I mean, it was crazy to think about. You think about this silly, funny, comedic movie, but there was a lot of star power that made it that way because of the talent that was in that room. But hopefully you learned a little bit from that opportunity. But let's take a moment in prayer and quiet our hearts as we listen to God's word. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to the words that you have to say to us, that you continue to speak through the gospel and remind us of all the wonderful lessons that you have to share with us, and help us to remember what a true great gift that family can be. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So how many of you get to experience the Hallmark Christmas in your family, where everything and everyone just fits perfectly? Just absolutely. I already see the shaking heads there. Where mom is singing the Christmas tunes all December, dad is merrily setting up the tree and putting up the lights, and the first time he turns on the lights, they work perfectly, and there's no issues whatsoever, and the kids are on their best behavior as well. You know what they put on their Christmas list this year? They want one thing. You know what it is? More time with their family. That's all the kids want for Christmas this year. And grandma and grandpa, at this Christmas occasion, they are just so elated with how well-behaved the kids are. And you know what they spend the whole time talking about is how much better the world is now than it was 50 years ago. Just how awesome and connected the world is. And the turkey, oh, it's cooked to perfection, and the mashed potatoes melt in your mouth. How many of you get to experience that Christmas? No, I'm not seeing too many hands go up on that one. How many of you get to experience a different kind of Christmas? Mom is frustrated with all the snide comments that her mother-in-law is making. Dad is in a terrible mood because he realized that the closer that he gets to Christmas, the lighter this thing seems to feel in his hands. The kids are in an upset mood because they know that no matter what they get, their friend down the block is going to get four of them, one for the car, one for the room, one for the house, and they're upset about that. And grandma and grandpa, they've been calling every single day this week asking if they should bring potato salad to the Christmas gathering. And mom keeps reassuring them that, no, I have potato salad cooked and ready to go, and it's taken care of. And then grandma and grandpa show up the day of, and what do they got? A big tub of potato salad. And they're upset. Nobody told them not to bring potato salad. And then grandma and Aunt Susie, they can't even remember what they have a grudge about. but they're still holding on to that grudge from 50 years ago that nobody even knows what they were fighting about. And you get there and the turkey is burnt, the dogs are barking, the cats are peeing, and the babies are crying. Ba la 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 la. That's how many people, maybe that's a little exaggeration, but that's closer to the Christmas experience you have instead of the Hallmark experience you have. And I think it's funny to talk about that, but I think that's why so many of us love Christmas family vacation. Because it's not about the Hallmark Christmas. It's about the time that you are spending with your family. And that's one of the reasons I love this movie that Emily exposed me to. Because it's a movie dedicated to celebrating the real Christmases that families celebrate. And we all have those family members who are dedicated to putting the fun back in dysfunctional, right? We've all got those family members who are dedicated to that. A brother who parks his RV on the front lawn and brings his crazy dog in the house. An uncle who burns down the Christmas tree. A grandma with the sweetest pie and the sharpest tongue. We have all got unique families that make them special to each and every one of us. And the funny thing is, if you ask each and every family, if you sat down with them on Christmas Day, they would tell you that their family takes the cake when it comes to dysfunction. We would all say, no family could possibly beat our family. But the truth is, we have nothing on the dysfunction of the families in the Bible. The challenge for this sermon was not finding a dysfunctional family in the Bible, it was choosing which one. So many examples. Let's start with the first one. Adam and Eve get kicked out of their beautiful beachfront property for some sins and transgressions in the past. And what do their kids do to each other? One of them kills the other. Noah. Oh, we all love Noah's ark. But it turns out after Noah gets off the ark, Noah had a little issue with the booze after he got off the ark. And one of his sons caught him in some indiscretions. And so Noah curses his son Ham for criticizing him. Abraham is a Days of Our Life soap opera going on there because he decides to listen to his wife Sarah, and Sarah bears him a son with his servant Hagar. Then Sarah eventually gets pregnant herself with their son Isaac, and jealousy and resentment split this family apart. And then don't forget about Jesus. He was not left out either. Because he actually experienced the original Home Alone is the story of Jesus getting left behind at the temple and his parents realizing 5 miles down the road, oh yeah, I don't hear our 12-year-old son. Maybe we need to go back and get him. And there he is praying in his father's house at this time. So many examples of families that are not perfect in the Bible, but families that take care of each other, families that love each other. But none of these families are quite as dysfunctional as Joseph's family, the family that Danielle shared about for us in our passage from Genesis. Because his brothers were so upset and so jealous of him that they wanted to hurt him. And his clear-headed brother Reuben has a real Christmas change of heart moment, and he says, let's not hurt the poor guy, but let's do the kind thing. They sold him into a lifetime of slavery instead. Can you feel that Hallmark movie being created as Reuben's heart softened and decided to sell his brother into slavery? See, the passage that we have before us, though, is the moment when Joseph's family reconciled. When all this crazy drama and this whirlwind of stuff happened, and they finally decided that it was enough. Because the interesting thing was the power in the relationship had completely reversed. When Joseph re-encountered his brothers, he was the one in the position of the power. He was the one serving a great Pharaoh who had a ton of respect. And it was his brothers who were looking for a meal, who were being hurt by the famine. And what's interesting is that Joseph doesn't just push away the hurt that he experienced before, but he recognizes it. He reminds his brothers of the hurt that they caused him. But Joseph decides to be the bigger man. In Genesis 45 to 7, 8, he said, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his houses and ruler of the land of Egypt. What a great statement by Joseph. He is saying, you know what? You are my brothers. You hated me. You despised me. You took me to the worst possible moment that I experienced in my life. But you know what? When I was down in the pit, I was not abandoned. God was with me. God guided me through that moment. And not only did God help me, but God used that experience to put me in a position where I could help people. Because the one thing you have to remember about Joseph is his dreams were the one that reminded the Pharaoh to save food before the famine was coming. And it was his plan that saved the lives of literally thousands of people from starving. All because God found a way to work through his worst moment. And think about that. That happens all the time in our world, that sometimes we just have to let go of the pain and the hurt of a difficult moment. Nelson Mandela is a great example of that. He spent over almost 25 years wrongly in prison because of the crimes of apartheid in South Africa. And when I was reading his biography, I was touched that in the moment that he realized that he was finally going to be released from jail, the moment that he was finally going to be free, he decided almost instantaneously that he needed to forgive those who persecuted him. He needed to forgive those who jailed him. Because he realized that if I did not forgive them in that moment, that 25 years that I would be in prison, that when I left, I would be taking my prison cell with me. So he chose forgiveness so he could be truly free. And think about what a gift that must have been for Joseph and for his family to be free from the chains of bitterness by clothing themselves with compassion. Is there someone in your group of family or your friends that you can give the gift of forgiveness to this Christmas? Because in our gospel today, Jesus deals with what I would call a gut punch dinner table jab from his beloved cousin John. John tells Jesus in Matthew 11, when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word to his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or is there another? Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And I think that's important to hear because even Jesus faced harsh criticism from important and close family members. However, I don't think what John said was out of a sense of disappointment for Jesus. Because remember, Jesus and John loved each other. They cared for one another. But I think John was expressing something out of a sense of impatience. Jesus was going door to door and he was offering healings and teachings. And those are great things to do. But I get the feeling John wanted more out of his Messiah. In spiritual terms, John thought Jesus was playing checkers when he should have been playing chess. In other words, as a candidate, he was making the round around, shaking the hands, kissing the babies, but he was skipping the speeches to 20 and 50,000 people. Jesus was focused on the moment in front of him. And John thought Jesus should be focused on the bigger picture. Because John, in his prophetic voice, he kind of became like Clark Griswold. All John was focused on was the Christmas bonus, which was, what was Jesus bringing to this world? What was he bringing to the Jewish people? What was that bonus going to be? Because you got to remember the pressure that was on the Jewish Messiah. Because the Jewish Messiah was supposed to free them from the Romans. He was supposed to send the bad guys to the unquenchable fire. And he was supposed to bring a time of jubilee to the hurting Jewish people. A lot of pressure on the Messiah. And John was losing sight of the purpose of Jesus coming. And Jesus reminds him of his purpose. Because he says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. You hear that humility in Jesus' voice, all those small acts? Because for Jesus, the big picture was tied into the small acts of kindness. Jesus knew that a transformation of circumstances could only be temporary at best. But a transformation of the heart, of the soul, that is something that can endure and change forever. And Jesus had the prophetic vision to see that it was impossible to change the world and ignore his hurting neighbor at the neighbor down the street. He couldn't change the world and ignore his hurting neighbor. Because he knew that his best chance to save the world was by helping his hurting neighbor down the street, was by helping the hurting family down the street. It was that small act of kindness. So when you celebrate Christmas with your family this year, focus less on the big picture. The 5-year plans, the 20-year plans, the grudges, the moments, the big stuff. But focus on the small things, the small moments where you are gathered and where you are praying, when you are loving, and when you are caring for one another. Because those moments remind us of the joyful purpose we are created for. The moment where a great-grandchild holds their great-grandchild in, or a great-grandfather, a great-grandmother holds their great-grandchild in their hands. You don't need a whole lot of words to express the awesomeness of that moment. Or maybe a mother and a daughter who haven't spoken for a while, who can just sit together, eat, and enjoy each other's company. That's a small moment. Just sitting together, maybe two people who haven't been, are on two uncles on politically opposite sides of the spectrum, who are able to sit together and watch a game together and realize that maybe they don't have to fight about everything in the world. Maybe they can talk it out. Maybe they can just care for one another. And it's important to know that, because even in the hilarious and dysfunctional families that we are all a part of, we all have the opportunity to experience love. We all have the opportunity to experience joy. And it's a gift from God. Because guess what? If this message teaches you anything, is that no one escapes being part of a dysfunctional family. I hate to break it to you, but your dysfunctional family is not special. It's just like all of ours. It truly is. And even in our story today, not even Jesus' family broke the mold when it came to dysfunction. They had their share of wackos and nut jobs. I mean, he had a cousin who ate locusts, for goodness sake. Tell me about what that Christmas table would have been like. But remember that no matter how different you are, how unique your family feels, that your family is a gift from God. The love that you share with one another is a gift from God. So in those small moments this Christmas season, pay attention. Cherish them. Because each and every Christmas, you get a chance to experience the gift of family, the gift of love, and most importantly, the gift of grace. And what a blessing from God that is. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just want to give thanks to you. And as we celebrate these upcoming family Christmases together, help us to just take a step back and to enjoy the small moments and to laugh and to be joyful in some of the dysfunctional moments and the hilarious moments. Because we realize that even when other family members challenges us and surprises us and even sometimes frustrates us, it gives us a story to tell. And ultimately, at the end of the day, those stories remind us of the gift and the laughter of that family is. And we are so special because we get to be a part of God's family, and each one of us is invited at that table. So we give thanks for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I forgot to make this announcement in our prior announcement. If the nominating committee could meet shortly after worship for about 15 minutes, that would be appreciated. Let me now share with you the words of our benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.